Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Brian, thank you very much. Well, here it is, folk. The curtain is raised today on Olympics 2024. Olympic action gets underway at the Stade de France later on today with the men's rugby sevens team facing South Africa in their first game. With the latest on this, I'm joined now from Paris by Damien O'Mara. Damien, we'll do the rugby in a moment because, of course, the Olympics is always mostly sport but a little bit of politics thrown in as well. Israel is playing its opening match in the soccer against Mali tonight. Likely first political flashpoint there.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the case. We mentioned yesterday how they're turning Paris into a venue itself. Well, the soccer is one of those sports which they are sending around France in its entirety. There's various, you know, very familiar Ligue 1 grounds staging games. The Parisian-based games are at Parc de France, which is best known to most people, I think, as the home of Paris Saint-Germain. So you've got Israel in action against Mali in their opening game tonight. There is a massively increased security presence on the streets already today, I am told. Perhaps that just is simply to coincide with the fact that action is getting underway. But pro-Palestinian campaigners have been very open in the fact that they have secured tickets for the game tonight and they do intend to stage a protest of some kind. Now, they have gone to great lengths to emphasise that it will be a peaceful protest, but they are obviously taking the opportunity of the first of Israel's 88 athletes to be in action over the course of the games to demonstrate their support for Palestine and their opposition to Israel's actions in Palestine and equally their opposition, which I think is pretty strong on the grounds in some quarters here to Israel's presence at the Games.
Big security contingent for the Israeli athletes as well, I understand.
Yeah, so Israel, as mentioned, have 88 athletes here. They have very, very extreme 24-hour protection at all times. Now, it's been widely reported over the course of the build-up to the Games that Israel is the only nation that will have 24-hour protection, which has been supplied by the French authorities. Now, as you can imagine, we're in a situation here where we've got some of the biggest sporting names in the world and various Olympic delegations will have their own security teams with them. But the Israel delegation, by all accounts, is the only one which has been protected around the clock by French authorities. Now, it isn't unusual for Israel in particular to have a very significant security presence around it. That would be quite common across the games. They've brought their own security teams with them since the Munich Games in 1972 and obviously the massacre that took place in the village at the time. But the difference this time around is it is very much state organised, and it is very much, you know, the French police and the French authorities who are ensuring that they are protected at all times.
Is there a Palestinian delegation?
There is, yeah. There's 8 athletes. It was initially reported that they were to arrive into Paris at some point today. It's since emerged that they arrived in last night. So Palestine is recognised by the International Olympic Committee as a National Olympic Committee, one of the governing bodies of Olympic sport. So they have 8 athletes here. There were representations made earlier in the week from the Palestinian Olympic Committee to have Israel expelled from the Games. Now, that's been rejected. It's been an issue which has hung over the Games and has hung over every IOC press conference since events broke out in Gaza last year. So the Palestinian Olympic Committee made a fresh appeal this week, to have Israel excluded from the Games. But they are here. They are a recognised Olympic body and they have taken part in quite a few of the most recent Games.
Can we turn our attention to equitation, to dressage and Team GB's Charlotte Dujardin, a high-profile dressage rider, withdrawn from the Olympics after a video from 4 years ago surfaced? What did it show?
Yeah, so she announced yesterday that she's pulled out of the competition. The International Federation, the FEI, the governing body for equestrian sport worldwide, is investigating a video which was released by a Dutch website, horses.nl, and it appears to show Dujardin repeatedly hitting a student's horse with a whip from the ground. Now, the video, the footage did circulate on social media yesterday. It then seemed to disappear. I know it was broadcast by one or two stations in the United Kingdom this morning. It having looked at it, it does appear to be quite vicious. It does appear to be quite a sustained use of the whip. Basically, in the footage that I've seen, that certainly we've seen circulated here, there's a young rider on a horse basically running around an enclosure, and Dujardin does appear to whip the horse repeatedly. It's a very significant story over here this morning. Obviously, animal welfare is at the priority of many people's thinking in advance of, all sporting events. Certainly, as we had breakfast in our hotel this morning, or as we walked through the lobby of our hotel this morning, and the daily breakfast shows on the television stations are, you know, cataloguing the news events of the day, it did appear to be quite prominent in the coverage here, not just in the Olympic section of, you know, the morning news programmes, but as a general news story in all. A lot of coverage. The timing of it, I don't think there's any coincidence that it does appear that someone has sat on this video for the course of whatever period of time and has released it in the week that Dujardin was aiming to become Britain's most decorated female Olympian, was looking to move clear with Laura Kenny. Obviously, that is being investigated, and I think the impression I get, even from, you know, meeting a British colleague here this morning, is that perhaps this is a story that might have another chapter or two to emerge just yet.
Okay. But clearly, in acknowledging that it was an error of judgment and heading for home, she has declared her feelings on what it is that's gone on there. At the other end of the spectrum, though, the Japanese gymnastics captain has also withdrawn for entirely different reasons.
This is a bizarre story. So Shoko Miyata, who at the age of 19 is the captain of the Japanese gymnastics team. Now, gymnastics is a very prominent sport in terms of Japan's ambitions for the Games. There's a touch of the Roy Keynes and Saipan here. Has she been sent home, or has she made the decision to go home? Either way, she has left the camp, and it's as a result of videos which have circulated of her smoking and drinking alcohol. So in Japan, the legal age for drinking and smoking is 20. Miyata is 19. She was filmed at a training camp in advance of travelling to Paris, and also I think there's footage
was
over
it
here
in
Paris.
Japan?
The first incident was in a private residence in Tokyo, and again in
So she
a
was
classroom.
Technically breaking the law.
She was technically breaking the law, but I think that the way that the story is being interpreted by a lot of people is, okay, she's 19, the legal age is 20, she has broken the domestic law, she has broken the law in Japan. I think there's a lot of discussion around it about the intense level of pressure that has been put on someone at 19 years of age to not only lead a team, but, you know, the way, where does the duty of care exist in terms of what support structures are offered in place to help her through this situation, rather than a situation now where she has her bags packed and she's heading back to Tokyo or to wherever it is in Japan that she'll land back to, and no doubt will be at the centre of a storm.
Take us through then the rugby sevens, please, and what is going to unfold today.
Yeah, so it's a big day today. We've got the French national soccer team in action. We've the rugby sevens getting underway. Obviously, the rugby with Antoine Dupont is getting significant coverage as well. I think today has been seen almost as the springboard, which is going to ignite the excitement around the games in advance of, you know, the opening ceremony on Friday and competition proper in many people's minds getting underway on Saturday. So we've got the sevens. This has been an Olympic sport reintroduced in Rio in 2016. Rugby had previously been part of the games 92 years in advance of that. Listen, fundamentally, it's the same size pitch. It's the same size ball. The scoring is pretty much the same. You don't take penalties or conversions from the ground, you take them from the hand. It's very exciting. 14 minutes games, 2 7-minute halves, a 2-minute break in between, and it's like a festival of sport. There will be a succession of games taking place at the Stade de France over the course of the afternoon and the evening, and coverage of the Irish games against South Africa and Japan will be live on RT2 television. We'll have updates on them as well here into radio, and Hugh Cahill will be providing commentary on those games and joins us now. Afternoon to you, Hugh.
Hi, Damien. How are you?
I'm good. Great excitement around this. This is a team that qualified for the Games in June of last year, so they've had an awful lot of time to sit and wait for the Games to get underway. 7 of the 12-man squad returning, having competed in Tokyo. And it is a squad, and they're not hiding away from this. It's a squad that comes here with very high expectations on themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've had a fantastic season without ever lifting a World Series event trophy gold, if you like. But certainly they've been hugely competitive. They were beaten earlier this season by Argentina in a final. They finished second overall. And they'll have huge confidence that they are well equipped and well able to go and win a medal at these games. And you mentioned Tokyo and 3 years ago. You know, they were the last team to qualify in the repechage, and Monaco happened to be there for that. And they were hugely delighted with their achievement of actually making the Olympic Games in and of itself, and perhaps just didn't have the time then to refocus. They only had 3 or 4 weeks between the Monaco repechage and booking their place in Tokyo to then the Olympic Games themselves. This year, as you mentioned, they've had more than a year. They've been able to kind of focus their minds and focus their bodies on getting ready for this stage. And I think you're going to find an altogether different Ireland performance in Paris this year, where they're seeded sixth versus Tokyo, where they finished 10th and were very disappointing overall.
So we look at today, they've got South Africa in their opening game, Japan then later on this evening. They play New Zealand tomorrow. Three pools of four teams. The top two will advance automatically to the quarterfinals. The third team could potentially reach the quarterfinals. Listen, it's a cliche of all cliches, but it's massively important that they make a very, very strong start against two teams today that they will fancy themselves beating.
Yeah, they will. Like the Blitzbox at Africa, they're not the team that they were 3 or 4 years ago. They were very strong around about Tokyo in 2021. They're not the same team anymore. A couple of older members of the squad, Roscoe Speckman, if you're a follower of the Sevens, you'll know he's been around for an awful long time as well. Sylvain Davids is the captain. They can do damage to Africa, but Ireland will be very comfortable, and they've come out on the right side against South Africa the last few times they've played. Japan will be just here to make up the numbers. No disrespect to them, but they just won't have the caliber of player or squad that they need to compete with the top teams, of which Ireland are one. And then it all comes down to New Zealand tomorrow in the group. Ireland have beaten New Zealand before. New Zealand are one of the top sides and favourites for gold medal in the men's event. But Ireland certainly will have nothing to fear. As I said, they've beaten them before. And I think the group itself will come down to that match tomorrow about who tops it. And of course, topping the group means what is on paper should be an easier draw for the quarterfinals. Eight teams progress overall from three pools of four. So look, I mean, really important they get a positive start today, and I think they will against South Africa.
Just briefly before we hand back to Philip, just a word on France. They're in Group C with Fiji, who are the back-to-back gold medalists, and the United States as well. And like, there's going to be so much focus on them, and particularly Antoine Dupont, who's obviously stepped away for a prolonged period from the 15s game.
69,000 tickets sold for the Sevens today. I'd say 68,500 there to see Antoine Dupont. He is the French superstar. Obviously, his well-publicised crossover after the World Cup last year and France failing to deliver that home World Cup trophy. But look, he's been brilliant for them. I had my doubts about him. Hugo Keenan has obviously done the same for Ireland. I had my doubts about whether he kind of hit the ground running with it, but he has been an absolute joy to watch on the seventh stage. So look, you know, a Stade de France, French home soil as well. La Marseillaise, they absolutely love their rugby, whether it's sevens or 15s. They play USA first off, and then they play Uruguay today. And realistically, France should be through to the quarterfinals come the end of play later on today.
Okay, there you go. Now that's got the blood pumping for us here in Paris, Philip. We're looking forward to those coverage of the Ireland games, obviously over the course of the day on RT2 television, and we'll have plenty of updates into radio as well.
And here too, I was laughing there because I was wondering, were they going to be playing before a full house in the Stade de France, or were they going to be sort of a couple of people in each corner of that massive stadium? But it does sound like there's a lot of interest locally in this.
No, do you know, even today, getting the transport into the, like I mentioned to you yesterday, we're on the side of an airfield on the outskirts of Paris, but there is a little bit of a change of energy around the place today, that it is starting to be, you know, business is going to kick off. Bizarrely, none of the Irish players other than Hugo Keenan have ever played in the Stade de France. I would have expected yesterday that they'd have had an opportunity to have a run out, but they will set foot on the pitch for the first time there today. And I to be honest with you, like the Sevens, I don't know if you watch it on television, like there's people who go to it and don't see a rugby ball from one weekend, end of the weekend to the other, but I think people are going to be heavily invested in it, and it's going to be big business around the Stade de France over the course of the afternoon and evening.
It is a spectacle, no doubt about it. Damien and Hugh, thank you both very much.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.